Good morning. Yeah, just want to echo what Jordan, what Jordan said about our fathers. Happy Father's Day. I'm so, so thankful for many of you men that step up. I know for our culture, it's really hard to be a father. So thankful for you guys, for what you do at your homes, for what you do here at the church. We thank you so much for being here. So my name is Eric. I call myself Eric the African. I'll be teaching from the Bible today. So really, really excited to teach from the Bible. So as you guys know, we've been going through this series, Jesus Stories. 2 weeks ago, John preached from John 11. And last week, Pastor Brandon preached from Luke 12. Today, I'll be continuing that series, Jesus Stories. Again, it's our prayer, our hope that not just during this series, that you get to know Jesus more and more, that you get enamored with him, that you get to know who he is, what he does, and how he cares about each one of you. John, in his gospel, wrote this incredible statement. Right, that Jesus did a lot of many things that if they were to be written, the whole world cannot contain the books that will be written from that. But then he made this summary statement, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing you may have life in his name. Right, so we're going through all of this series with the goal that you get to know Jesus because he's the source of life. He's the source of everything. So as we go through this, I hope that today you get to see a little bit more of Jesus and what he wants for our lives, that you get to experience him a bit more, that hopefully it encourages you to want to get to know him more personally, right? Beyond just coming every Sunday, beyond just being even a Christian. God wants more for us, more than that. Well, being John 4, right, there's this incredible story that we'll look at with Jesus interacting with this woman that we don't even know her name, right, but we've come to believe, to know her as the Samaritan woman. So that's where we would be. Part of it is really joyful. Part of it is really, really cool. But then towards the end, as always, Jesus challenges us to some things, right? That if all of us will get a hold of as his people, if all of us will really embrace these things, that we could make a difference, not just for our families, or even for our schools or our city, but we can make a difference for the world. And that's my prayer for all of us. That's our prayer for each one of us. So I'll go ahead and read just the first few verses. We'll pray and then we'll pick it up from there. So let me read some of this. So John 4, I'll read a few verses. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. So let's just pray. Our Father, we just give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you honor. It's just so incredible to be able to worship together, to be able to sing to you, and to be able to sing together. We bless your name, Jesus. We thank you. We honor you, Lord. We adore you. You are God and our King. Jesus, you are the one for which we are here. Without you, we don't even have to be here, Father. So we thank you that you are here. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is here. Lord, I do pray that these few moments that you speak to our hearts, the entrance of your word brings light. It brings understanding to the simple. Lord, I even pray right now, Jesus, that your refreshing spirit will wash over us, will wash over the hearts of your people, will wash over the minds of your people, will wash over the souls of your people. These are your people. These are your sons and your daughters. And in a very small way, Jesus, that you open their eyes to see you, to behold you, to experience you beyond just the normal Father, to know how real you are, how intimately you do want to be involved in their lives and in their going out and their coming in. And I pray, Father, that you will draw them in. So, Jesus, bless your word. Bless your word so incredibly, and encourage and strengthen and build up and just even challenge your people this morning. Again, we thank you so much. We honor you. Lord, in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, good. So as I said, we are in John 4. So I broke this down into various sections, and we'll just walk our way through each one of those. So those first six verses talks about Jesus wanting to go to Galilee. So he's in Judea, and he has to go to Galilee. If you look at it, it's like straight shot up north, right? He wants to travel from south to north. And so there are a few things from that verse I do want us to sort of pay attention to. So he has to go straight up north. If you read the history of this text, many of the observant Jews would want not to, because he has to go through Samaria. Samaria, again, if you read way back in the Old Testament, was the time where the Jews, some of them were deported, so they became like a mixed race, right? Not your complete Jews. So observant Jews think by going through Samaria and interacting with them will cause them to be defiled. But here was Jesus that had to go to Judea, had to go to Galilee, but he chose to go through Samaria. And so something that we'll look at in a minute. And then he traveled walking, right? In those days, you have to walk many, many hours. So at the end of the day, he got to where he was, and he was weary. So those first six verses, there are two things I really want to dig in quite a little bit, right? So one of the verses talked about verse 4, but he needed to go through Samaria. So Jesus had to go to Judea, to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. He needed to go through Samaria. And then the verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary, right? Being weary from his journey, sat as by the well. It was about a 6 hour. So the first thing I want to talk about briefly had to do with this idea that there are no chance encounters when God is concerned, right? Jesus purposely chose to go through Samaria because he had to meet this woman, right? And the thing that we pray about regularly is that God will order our steps. In fact, if you read the psalm, he says that the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord. And so the first thing I really want to encourage us, or even challenge us with, this idea that you're not even sitting here by accident, right? You didn't meet your spouse by accident. Your life is not an accident. If you believe that you belong to Jesus and he knows you, that your life is ordered by him. And this is one of those examples that Jesus didn't look at the obstacle, right? Which sometimes is the trouble we have, the challenges that he would have encountered, right? That he would have felt almost defiled by these Samaritans, but that wasn't the goal for him. So he went through knowing that he had to go through Samaria because he had to meet this woman. The second thing I want to highlight a little bit is this idea that the verse 6 talks about the fact that Jesus was wearied, that Jesus was tired. Here is Jesus, the Son of God, having to walk about 30 miles just to meet this woman. And by meeting and through that process was really tired and weary. Guys, if Jesus has not experienced all the things we have experienced, there's no way he could help us, right? If Jesus hadn't been fully human and fully God, right? So this is one of those verses that remind us of the fact that, yes, Jesus was fully man in every way possible. He was fully, fully man. That's why he was tired. He was weary from the journey. And so he sat down, right? He sat down. So let's pick up the next sort of verses, which will work our way through quite a bit. So from 7 through 15, let me kind of briefly read that. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. I mean, that's cool. Just so straightforward. Give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Again, this is one of those verses that remind us that Jesus breaks barriers, right? Jesus breaks racial barriers. He breaks barriers between people of different groups, different backgrounds, socioeconomic backgrounds. He breaks all of that, right? Sending his disciples to go buy food in Samaria, being observant Jews. And here was Jesus waiting to talk to this woman, right? Let me tell you guys this, my sisters. I know many of you want to find your worth and whatever, right? Here is Jesus, and as we'll see about this woman, letting her know that she mattered, right? Here is Jesus talking to this woman about the fact that, give me water, right? And as we'll see in a minute, she didn't take kindly to that at all. And so Jesus says, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Again, it looks like she's being hostile. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks from this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. So that's a really, really interesting interaction that Jesus is having this with this woman. So Jesus asked her, just a point of introducing himself, give me water, give me a drink. We know she didn't take too kindly to it because of all the animosity that happens between Jews and Samaritans and Gentiles, right? All of that hostility. She wants to bring that up. Jesus decides to stick with the script that he had. So Jesus asked her, if you knew the gift of God, if only you knew who is standing before you. What's so sad is many of us have pretty much been acquaintances with Jesus. We haven't really known him. If you knew the gift of God, right? If you knew who it is that is before you right now, if you knew that, our prayer for you always, right? And this is sincerely from our heart. Our prayer for you as Christ's church, as God's people, that you will just move from just having knowledge about Jesus to fully experiencing him. And for every time I'll read from Philippians where Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. This is Paul who knows Jesus so much, right? But he still wants to know him, and that's our prayer for all of us. Right, that we get to know him more and more and more and more. That finally when we see him one day, this doesn't even still compare to the Jesus that we've come to know. But Jesus tells us, if you know the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God. And so Jesus said that, and then she said, if you knew the gift of God, you would ask him instead for living water, living water. And then she said, our father gave us this well, Jacob and this well. Are you greater than him? You know, the sad thing is, in all of this, she's not there yet. Hopefully, she will be there soon. How much we look for substitutes, right? Substitutes. This water, you'll come and draw 1,000 times. But the water that Jesus will give her, as he would say, would become in her living water, right? That springs to eternal life. But here she is, not knowing what Jesus wanted to give her. And so she is, are you greater, right? For many of us, it's traditions. Even many of us, we've been Christians for years, right? We haven't gone any deeper than just I do my Sunday duty, I do my family duty, and that's it, right? For many of us, we look for substitutes for what that living water is. Let me read from Jeremiah 2:13. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. That's many of us, right? That's many of us. Even Sunday service can be a substitute. I mean, as great as our worship team is, as great as Pastor Brandon is and many of our guys that come here to preach and teach, it could still be a substitute, right? It's still not the main thing. The main thing is to know God and to experience Him. That's the main thing. The main thing is to continue to know Jesus and to walk with Him. Anything else, if all of this does not lead us into that, it's a broken system, right? And one day it will catch up to you. One day it will catch up to all of us. When real life troubles happen, when real life challenges happen, that broken system cannot hold up. It can never, never sustain you. And our prayer for all of us, right, is that we come to Jesus for that living water, to get to know His Holy Spirit at work in us. My wife would always, she wouldn't pray a prayer without praying for the Holy Spirit to fill her. And she would always say this, if you know me without the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't want me to be around without me being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's so true for all of us, right? That's so true all of us. We do all of this life in our strength, in our power, in our might. We do all of this life based on our experiences. Pastor Brandon talks so much about that. We do all of this based on our connections. I mean, we are a connection church, right? Based on all of that, instead of coming to the Lord that He might touch us and make us new. So Jesus said that. Jesus told her, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew that. And then she has some additional sort of things that she continues to say. Let me read verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. That's the goal, right? That's God's goal for us. That's God's goal for us, that even in all of this worship, all of these things, that we'll get to know Him more and more. And so Jesus continues this interaction with this woman, and then the next few verses, Jesus tells her something incredible. So let me read verses 16 through 18. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you have spoken truly. Man, how incredible. Jesus read her mail. Oh, that's incredible. I've had some of those experiences. Reading others' mail and others reading my mail. My wife has such incredible gift of being able to pray for people and tell them things. But that's a gift that God gives us. But here is Jesus reading this woman's mail. Go call your husband. She said all of these things. Says, I wish sometimes I have these dreams about when we meet Jesus, would we be able to see some of these interactions live, right? Just to be able to see Jesus talking to this woman, patient with her, knowing where He wants to get her at. Go call your husband. And she being so honest, right? So honest. Many of us, Pastor Brandon talked about this last week. Many of us are so afraid to be known. Many of us are so, so afraid to be fully known. No wonder we hide our sins. We hide our troubles. We come in here, we look so nice, polished. You know I'm wearing pink, right? Looking all nice, well suited up. He spoke last week, inside our bones and dead is stuff, and we're so afraid to confess to anyone. We are so afraid to ask for help because to be fully known means that we are not who we are. And here is Jesus looking at this woman, knowing all about her, would go out of his way to go and speak to her and draw her in. And that's what God wants for all of us, right? That's what Jesus wants for all of us. None of us are without sin, brothers and sisters. None of us are without sin, right? And when we come as God's people, we shouldn't be afraid in our small groups, in our tryouts, in people you check in with. That shouldn't be a problem, right? Oh, I blew it today. My kids know me. I'm not always holy. My wife knows that, right? But we are so afraid because we think if somebody knows, then I'm no longer who I am. Here is Jesus. To be fully known and fully accepted is so incredible. But our God does that for us, right? Our God does that for us. Yes, people can think what they want to think. But God knowing me and knowing me and still laughs and cares for me and will still go out of his way, right? That song, Reckless Love, will still go out of his way to seek me out. That should be incredible and should really encourage us. But at least this woman was so honest. She said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, yes, you are right. You've had five of them. You know what's so incredible is, typically, maybe you guys have heard this before, people, they go to get water in the mornings, either in the mornings or in the evening, right? But here she is, mid-afternoon, because she has a history, right? People know all sorts of gossips about her. Yeah, her identity is defined by who she is with. And so if this guy breaks her heart, he'll go to the next guy. We'll go to the next guy. We'll go to the next guy. She can't come to the point of knowing that without the guy, God still laughs and cares for her. She can't see that. And because of all that, here she is. Instead of going with the other women, she went by herself. But thank God for a God that loves and cares for her, right? A God that loves you and me beyond anything you guys can imagine or think, that even when you're trying to hide from everybody else, when you're trying to make sure that nobody sees or know that God still sees you, and he cares so much for you that he'll find a way to enter in. And that's what Jesus has done for this woman. Thank God that she's open enough to say, Lord, I know, I've had five husbands. I've had many of them. And you know, the thing you would expect is that she'll take that next step, but then she still has some excuses, right? The next few verses, she still has these excuses. Oh, you know, our fathers worshipped on this hill. They worshipped here, and you Jews, she's trying to still deflect. Instead of seeing what Jesus wants us to see, she's still trying to deflect all of these things. And the next sets of verses, Jesus said, yeah, that is true. That is true that you still have this Mount Gerizim and all these different mountains. But the time come and now is that the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For God's sake, such to worship him. And then from there, the next sets of verses, the disciples came, right? Which is why I do want to spend quite a bit of time. The disciples came, and sometimes it's so hard when we miss the point, right? It's so hard when we can't see what God sees, when we can't feel what God feels, when our eyes are so blinded by immediate needs that we don't see what God wants to see and what God wants to do. I mean, this is true for all of us, for all of us. Right, our immediate needs become so, so important that we don't see all the other needs that God wants us to see. We don't necessarily feel all the other things that God wants us to feel. So from verse 27, right, 27, at this point his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Right. And that's an understatement though, right? That's a real understatement. Because for a Jewish rabbi, to be talking to a woman, not just any woman, right? To be talking to a Samaritan woman, it's just unheard of, right? It's just so unheard of. Let me give our guys just a quick warning, and our boys know this. I don't typically in my office, when I always have my doors open, right? because I don't trust myself enough, right? When I have girls coming, the door is always open, the lights are on, because you just never know, right? None of us are strong enough to withstand the temptation of sin, right? None of us are. So everything you can put in place to make sure that you don't get into awkward positions you want to, right? But this is a unique situation, right, where Jesus went out of his way to meet this woman by himself. So the disciples came, they saw Jesus talking to this woman, a real understatement, and they were puzzled. They were puzzled, really, really puzzled. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Right? No one said that. The woman left her water pot, went away into the city, and said to the man, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city to meet him. 31. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore, disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." 35. "Do you not say there are still 4 months? And then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this is the saying true, one sows and another reaps." Guys, the fields are ripe for harvest. It's been ripe more than 2,000 years. The fields are ripe for harvest. All you have to do is walk to the neighborhood Walmart, walk to the other Walmart, and you see that they are ripe for harvest. What's so incredible is God is bringing to us people from every language, every tribe, every cultural group, every whatever. He is Statesboro. God is bringing all of them to us, right? God is bringing all of them to us. What's so sad is many times we don't see the urgency of the situation. These guys are so worried about food. Yes, Jesus is hungry. He's walked all day for 30 miles, all day, hungry, weary, tired. And the disciples saw that. And so that's not an illegitimate concern at all, but there's something that's more important, right? The souls of men and women who don't know Christ is much, much, much more important. We talk about how God is love, how God cares, how God is so good, and that's all true. That's all true. But many of us are so afraid to tell others about Jesus. We're so scared of what people would think about us, what will happen to our jobs, what people would say, that we're so scared to let them know we believe Christ. We're so scared. And here's Jesus. He said, "My will is to do that. My desire, my food is to do the will of my Father." And what that's the will? To let others come to know Christ. Many times this is why I challenge my fellow fathers. You know, not that we're perfect, because we'll never be, right? But if a father steps up and that's what God wants him to do, just reading the Bible with your family, praying with them, that changes a lot. Whether you like it or not, God has designed it that way, right? God has designed it in a way that if the father steps out, everyone else follows. It's just what it is. If the father will be brave enough, again, you have to be courageous enough, because it's hard, let me say that. It's hard when you come back from work and you want to turn on the TV and that son or daughter runs to you. It's hard. I wouldn't say it's not hard, but the price of not doing anything is much, much more than just a little sacrifice, right? The price of doing nothing. I can tell you, if all of us being Christians, all of us being God's people, if all we did was convert our families, America would have been different. If all of us were to focus on making sure that our sons, not in a legalistic way, right? Because sometimes we're known for being extremely legalistic. It's all rules, right? Brandon would talk about rules without relationship leads nowhere. It just leads to lots of fight, right? But if all of us, you know, especially fathers, again, I'm trying to be so thankful for many, many of you this past week, the VBS, lots of fathers here, right? Some, you know, volunteering, cooking together. That's awesome. There's nothing wrong with that. That's so, so good, and we're thankful for that. Many of you step up to volunteer in the community. So I'm not trying to bash on you. But man, if God will give you that extra grace to step up, right, that extra grace, I can tell you with our boys, 15 minutes a day in the morning. But man, that's a lot of difference. Praying with them a minute, 2 minutes, that makes a lot of difference. Being present, we serve together, we come to church together. Because as you guys will hear the saying out here, it's better caught than taught, right? That's true. So when they see what you do, they follow through. And my prayer and our encouragement for all of us, right? Our prayer and encouragement for all of us. But brothers and sisters, the fields are ripe. They are so, so ripe. You go to Georgia Southern, right? You run into students from everywhere. Nigeria, Ghana, where I'm originally from, Bangladesh, India, China. I mean, name the countries. Everywhere. You don't have to go far to be able to tell them about Jesus. And so, what would you do, right? What would you do? Would you take up the challenge and be able to step up like Jesus did with this woman, though his reputation is at stake, though he's tired and weary, though he's hungry and all that, right? Would you step up? Would you step up? There's something I want to show you briefly. How do you, and so here was Jesus meeting this woman that, a total stranger, and being able to take her from being a stranger, ultimately for her to confess that Jesus is the Christ. Man, that's awesome. That doesn't happen always, by the way, right? But that's pretty, pretty awesome. Ultimately, this woman saw what Jesus wanted her to see, to know that Jesus is the Messiah. And as you saw with this woman, what did she do? She ran right. She left the water that she was coming to draw and went into the community. Sometimes we talk to people and they'll say, oh, how do I know I'm saved? One way you can definitely know you are saved is what is your passion for Christ? Do you want to tell others about him? If you've been a Christian for 10, 15, 20 years, and you've never had the urge, the desire to tell others about Christ, I really doubt that salvation, right? You have to check it. If you've been a Christian 5, 10, 20 years, and you've never thought of telling others about Christ, or at least inviting them to church, you really want to see whether you are saved. Because if you know Christ and you know him, you do want others to know him. If you've experienced his grace, again, Pastor Brandon would quote from Peter, right? Taste and see. If you've tasted and seen that God is good and kind and gracious and he forgives our sins, he cleanses us and all that, if you've tasted all of that and you don't want to tell others about it, I mean, you truly want to see whether you do know Jesus. You truly, truly want to know that. So there are a few things. These are basic stuff, right, that I just want to kind of show you in terms of how do we go through this point of being able to at least begin a conversation, right? And the first step is making sure that you always pray that God will lead you, right? That's really, really important. If you look at it, Jesus said, I must go through Samaria, right? I must. So God is leading him. Make that a thing for you that you pray that God will lead you. That's really, really important. The next one is try and figure out a way to get an entry point in. And so here Jesus asked, give me a drink. Many times I'll run into strangers and, how are you? That breaks down barriers. How are you? Oh, you look nice today. What do you do? Right? Look for an entry point. The next one is, and this is probably the difficult for me and for a lot of us, to transition that initial pep talk or chit chat into something much more deeper. And here was Jesus telling her, if you knew the gift of God, that's a big, big change from give me water to, hey, you know who is standing before you, right? And so that's really, really important for all of us to transition from just how are you, how are things, oh, you look good, what sports teams do you follow, to do you know Jesus? One that's worked for me quite a bit recently is to ask people point blank, what is your faith tradition? Right? Because you never know, you run into people that you think, oh, they are Christians, and just by asking that, they tell you, oh, I believe in some fairy tale, whatever, right? What's your faith tradition? It works really, really well. What's your faith tradition? And then from there, some might believe, some might not, but not to get discouraged from that, right, which is always, always important. Don't get discouraged, right? Jesus took this woman from here all the way to salvation. That doesn't happen most days, right? I like the verse Jesus said that some sow, some reap, but we all receive the same reward together. And God does want all of that for us. And then finally, just make sure you pray for people. Recently, I was on a flight. This young lady sat by me. I wanted to do all I can to at least have a conversation. She wouldn't. All I did was pray. I prayed for the whole flight for her, that somehow God will open her eyes, somehow God will draw her in, right? Okay, as I am about to close the message, there's a challenge I have for all of us. And this is the challenge. So typically, sometime during the service, we'll ask us to get up, introduce ourselves to somebody. So can you all stand if you don't mind, please? Okay. So this is the next step. I want you to find somebody you don't know and say, hey, this is my name. Can I pray for you? Right? Let's do that now. Find somebody you don't know, right? We're trying to meet strangers today. Yes, let's pray for each other, right? Briefly, let's pray for each other. Somebody you haven't met before.
Amen. All right. Sorry about that. I'm sorry to interrupt those of you who are still praying. We are continuing to pray. Please, after this, we are not dismissed. Pastor Jordan will be coming here to give us a few announcements before we leave. So I'm just going to pray with us, and then after that, we'll have Jordan come here and give us a few announcements. If you don't mind, can you all join with me? Let's continue in prayer. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. We are so amazed by how you've shown us mercy. We are so amazed by how you've shown us grace. It's true that there's no mountain that you will not climb up. There's no door that you will not burst open to come after us. You break every barrier just so you can just scoop us from our sin and lift us up and cleanse us and make us what we are. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming after us so fiercely, like you've shown us in the story we just heard, Lord. In the Jesus story that we have just heard, we thank you, Lord. We bless you that it doesn't matter our past. It doesn't matter how deeply we are buried in sin, or it doesn't even matter how righteous we might be, we might think we are, but your grace draws us, and all you want from us is to surrender to you. And so, Lord, we come before you as individuals, as families, and as a church. And Lord, we confess every sin, Lord. We ask that you forgive us for ways that we have not represented you well. And we fall in your mercy. And we fall in your grace. And thank you for being so faithful. We pray this morning in Jesus' name that the same grace that you have shown to us, will you kindle that fire in us that we can say with Paul, that we are not ashamed of the gospel, that wherever you will put us, Lord, we can tell others, come and see this man. I have met a man who has told me all that I have done, who has exposed my sin, but he's loving. That we can tell of your mercies, that we can sing of your grace forever you will have us, so that those around us will come and experience your grace and your mercy. Give us discernment. Give us wisdom as we tread this line. Lord, I pray you continue to strengthen our faith. Bind us together as a family. Jesus, we pray right now. You do not condemn us. Your word says there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And so, Lord, we stand in your name and we rebuke any voice of the accuser and the one that condemns. We pray, Father, that regardless of our past, we will trust in you as we confess and humble ourselves before you and rest in your grace that carries us, and we will move forward, Lord, in your strength to let others know you and make you known to the whole world. We pray for anybody that might be going through any struggle. We pray for grace in Jesus' name that you meet each and every one of us at the point of our need. We just know that, Lord, there is nothing that we cannot do. There is nothing we can do without the power of your Spirit. So this morning, Holy Spirit, will you pour on us? Will you pour on us? Will you pour on us? Will you empower us? Will you empower us? Will you strengthen our determination to keep pressing on into you, even in the mighty name of Jesus? May we live here knowing how much you love us and resting in that love, Lord, that as we rest in that love, we will go and give out of that love to the world around us. We thank you, we love you, we honor and adore you. In Jesus' name, amen.